Good afternoon. Thank you, Jordan, for the lesson on our conscience. And that is something that we have that we can thank God for. Second message of the day, overcoming Phariseeism. And I'd like your input here for a second. When you saw that title, what did you think the message was going to be about? Who can maybe give me a definition of what you think of when you saw the word Phariseeism? There's probably a number, so. People that think that they're doing right. Okay, anyone else? Please people with an outward form.
Try to look good, but your conscience is blowing up the whole time.
Look good, but their conscience is blowing up. I'm going to take the message from Matthew 23. You can turn there a while. And again, I mentioned the fact this morning that the one thing that I think of over and over and over again, how the people that were listening to Jesus speak, they didn't have cell phones in their pockets, but they were just like us. They were in a different culture, but some of the same things that are a temptation for us today were a temptation for them. So recently, our bishop, Joe Weaver, preached a message at our church. I don't remember the title for sure, but it was something about our Mennonite subculture. And he talked a little bit about our Mennonite culture and what it is and how we maintain it. And one of the quotes that, this is a quote from his message that stood out to me. He said, "Our temptation is to conform to Mennonite traditions but never surrender to Jesus Christ." And that quote just struck home with me. And I don't know if I would imagine you're a lot like me and you know what that means. But our temptation is to, we know what's expected of us, and we know how we are expected to perform. So sometimes it's easier for us to do that than to live a life of integrity and a life of holiness. And that's what I'm mostly gonna focus on. The Pharisees had a lot of things going on in their lives. They were certainly not people of integrity, and they drew Jesus' condemnation on a number of different things. But one of the main things was that they were pretending to be something that they weren't. And when you and I are dishonest with ourselves and with God about who we are, it just creates a host of problems in our lives. And we're going to read Matthew 23, and this is Jesus. This is all red text. This is Jesus talking directly to the Pharisees, and he was very, very blunt with them and very condemning of their outward adherence to the law and their inward corruption and sinfulness. So Matthew 23, verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? And I don't know how you can get more direct and have more clarity than Jesus' words here in these verses. Verse 23, he talked about how the Pharisees meticulously followed all the aspects of the law, but failed to live lives of integrity. And if you notice there at the end of verse 23, he didn't judge them or condemn them for following the law and all the details of the law, but he did judge them or condemn them for failing to live lives of integrity. He says, these ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. How easy is it for us to check the Mennonite boxes? And we know what is required of us, and we know what is expected of us where we go to church. And we know that we have to do this and this and this, because it's what's required of us. And that's right. That's good and right. There's a place for church rules and church and Mennonite traditions. But Jesus was telling these Pharisees that stuff is okay, but don't let the more important things be undone. Verse 24, it talks about blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And if you look in Leviticus 11, 21 and 23, it talks about some of the bugs and insects that were okay for them to eat and some that were not. I believe it was the flying insects that had jointed legs for hopping. I think like beetles, locusts, grasshoppers were acceptable, while other flying insects, it says, shall be an abomination. And what these pious Jews were doing was they were straining their water through a cloth, so that if there was a, they got their water from a cistern, and there might be some type of bug in there, and if they accidentally ingested it, they would have been guilty of breaking the law. They didn't want to accidentally ingest an unclean insect and violate the law. And Jesus was accusing them here in verse 24 of taking great pains, straining out these gnats, taking great pains to avoid offense and minor things of little importance while tolerating and committing great sins, such as deceit, oppression, and lust. And how easy is it for us today to be meticulous about maybe things that are not as important while hiding behind that and living lives that lack integrity. Verse 25, the Pharisees made sure that the part of their lives that were visible to others look perfect. But outside of that, their motives, their desires, their attitudes were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And I had to think about these Pharisees. They were here, they came to Jesus, and I had to wonder if they knew Jesus was going to call them out, if they would have even been there. Like, who knew these men? Were their lives so secret? Were they living such a double life that their families didn't even know who they were? Really? Did they think that they had everybody fooled? And of course they couldn't fool Jesus, and he just called them out in front of everybody. what is my life like? Do I live a transparent life? Am I the same person no matter who I'm around? Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And Jesus was saying that these people are saying that they love me. They're telling others that they love me. They're acting like they love me, but they don't. Their lives don't back it up. In vain do they worship me. Their heart is far from me. And I think that, I've said it before, we're so much like the people that were with Jesus. I mean, we have the same tendencies. It's so much of a tendency for us to do the same. Jesus' condemnation was direct and unmistakable. His question implied that unless these pious, self-righteous law followers would be transformed and begin to live holy lives instead of simply following the law. Verse 33, he says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And this is a dark picture. This is not who we want to be. This is sobering, because this is men that were pretending to do what was right, and they were leaders. They were acting like they loved Christ, but they were not. And sometimes we make the mistake of portraying Jesus as compassionate, kind-hearted, loving, and he was at times, but he was also, when dealing with the hypocrites and the self-righteous Pharisees and those that openly rejected the truth, he was direct and straightforward in his condemnation. And I'm sure if Jesus was here today, his message would be the same. He would still call out hypocrisy, double standards, double living. And I guess the question for you and I is, what would Jesus say to me if we had the opportunity to spend some time with Jesus? So I wanna pivot from that dark picture. What is the cure? The title says Overcoming Phariseeism, and it's implying that Phariseeism is something that we face. And what is the cure for that? How do we overcome? And Jesus called out the darkness. He called out the sin and inconsistency, but he also offered a path forward, a path of a cure for this. And I have 4 points, and we're going to look at these, the cure for being a Pharisee. So in Matthew 4, verse 17, in my Bible, this is the fifth red letter verse. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I don't think that's a mistake that this repent came at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is where it all starts. And he not only called out the Pharisees and those that were living in sin and hypocrisy, but he offered them a path forward. He said, "This is what you need to do. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus called his followers to repent. And this is the crucial first step in the process. We have to put away the things of the past if we expect to be transformed and to overcome. The 3 basic steps to repentance and salvation: ask for forgiveness, be willing to turn from your sins, and believe that Jesus Christ died for those sins and rose again. And it's only as those Pharisees were willing to repent and put away their double life and their hypocrisy, that they could experience a relationship with Christ. Second one I have is follow. It wasn't enough to just repent. In verse 19, Matthew 4, verse 19, 18 and 19, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, Andrew, his brother, casting a net into sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Peter and Andrew did that, and it transformed their life. They went from being just these rough fishermen that were just trying to make a living to followers of Christ and fishers of men. Men that Jesus could count on, and that transformed their lives. And if Jesus offers that to every one of us too, he wants us to follow him. He needs followers. And if we follow him, it will transform our lives. Third thing I have is deny and surrender. Matthew 16:24, you can turn to that. This is when he had this back and forth with Peter, and in verse 23 he said, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Putting God's will above our own desires. Hypocrisy, Phariseeism, is all about me. It's about taking care of myself, living the life that I want to live while putting on a good front. Jesus said taking up our cross involves a willingness to suffer and sacrifice. Surrender means relinquishing control and trusting in his guidance. Transformation requires complete surrender to God's will and purpose for our lives. Surrender doesn't start when we're at the end of our rope and we need help. It starts when we begin following Christ. Romans 12:2, you can turn to that for the fourth point. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this was Jesus' call to the Pharisees. He wanted a renewed heart. He wanted them to forsake their hypocritical ways. He wanted them to be renewed, and he is calling for us to do that today as well, to have a renewed heart. Repent, follow, deny, and surrender, and renew. How do we know that we have a transformed life? How do we know that we have overcome the hypocrisy and Phariseeism? In Jesus talked in Matthew 7 about bearing good fruit, which aligns with the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22. A person that is living a life of service, living a life of a renewed life after Christ, will demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. in Mark 10. This was, I'm going to read Mark 10, verses 43 to 45. These verses came after James and John requested seats of honor next to Jesus. And Mark 10, 43, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus taught that true greatness is found in serving others, demonstrating a transformed heart. Can you imagine the proud Pharisees taking time and inconveniencing their schedule to serve those around them, especially in ways that might have gone unnoticed? Jesus said when he washed the disciples' feet, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you," a life of serving others. And I'd like to suggest that if we observe the ordinance of feet washing without living a life of service to others, our lives are just as hypocritical as the Pharisees that Jesus condemned in Matthew 23. Jesus exemplified humility and taught his followers to be humble. Back to Matthew 23, verse 12. "Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." In John 14, 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," indicating that obedience to him is a true sign of transformation, a sign that the hypocrisy is gone, and those who obey Christ are living a life of genuine transformation. Now, I don't know if you look at these verses in Matthew 23 and you can identify with what Jesus was saying and what Jesus was calling out. But if you can, let's ask God to strip away every trace of pride, every trace of pretense and self-righteousness, and ask God to clothe us with sincerity, compassion, and humility, instead of being Christians pretending to be Christ-like. May we truly have Christ living in us. Let's kneel for prayer.